Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Spirit to Spirit. When we make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives, we're born again into God's family as a newly created human spirit, which now has the capacity to comprehend the things of God. God gave us access to the Holy Spirit to come and baptize us with Himself, and to benefit from His teaching ministry. In this lesson, we will discover how to enlist His ministry in our lives so that He can minister to us spirit to reborn human spirit. I hope that you enjoy this message. All right, let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, I am excited about Your word. I'm excited about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what He has to reveal to us this evening. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You so much, God, for the Lord Jesus and for our redemption, for the price He paid for us on the cross. Glory to God. I thank You, Father, for revealing to us the truth of Your word. And I believe this evening when we're done that we're going to be different than how we began. And I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You. I thank You for what, for the message that You have for us tonight. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we get together here each week, and I do my best to turn myself over to Holy Spirit and allow Him to bring up within me the message that He has, that He wants to deliver. And last week, we had what I felt like was an awesome message about confidence in the Holy Spirit. And you know, we've been looking at 1 Corinthians and the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And from that, we've been getting a lot of insight regarding the ministry of the Holy Ghost and how the intention of the Lord is not for us to stay spiritual babies dependent on somebody else to feed us. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to tap into the ministry of the Holy Ghost, to grow and develop in the things of God, and not to have to look to somebody else to do our spiritual work for us. You know, that's just laziness. And yeah, I know at times it's fun to be a little bit lazy, but when you just let yourself rely on somebody else to do your spiritual, your spiritual work for you, then you're only going to go as high as that person's going. You're only going to develop as much as that person's developed, and whatever wrong doctrine they might have. Because as I have said frequently, and nobody has all the revelation knowledge that there is. We're all on a path. We're all continuing to see through a glass darkly. You know, in one area, I might have a little more insight than another person, but they might have a little more insight in a different area than I do. And we're all growing. We're all learning. And God's revealing to each one of us as much as He can at whatever level that we're at. And so the bottom line, though, is He wants us to not stay the same way that we are for all of our time here on this earth, spiritually speaking. He wants us to grow and to develop in our spiritual walk. He wants us to do the things that are necessary to cultivate this spiritual growth and this change that takes place in us. When we're born again, you know, we come into the existence, spiritually speaking, as a baby. We don't come fully developed. I don't care who says what. That's just not what the Bible proves out. The Bible shows that there's growth, there's development, that we're on a path heading somewhere, and along the way, it's based on how much time that we'll spend with Him and how much time that we spend in God's Word, feeding ourselves on God's Word. Because as much as we'll do that, as much as we'll feed ourselves, then there's growing, there's development, there's nurturing in the Spirit. And you know, you may have had some, you might know of somebody that maybe they've been saved for 50 years, 60 years, and they still are spiritual babies. Why is that? It's because they haven't learned how to tap into the ministry, the teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost. They haven't learned how to make Him their teacher, how to take the Word of God, feed themselves on the Word, and then enlist the teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost to bring revelation knowledge into their hearts. It's one thing to just take God's Word and to just put it in, and have head knowledge of what this Word is saying. There's people that are atheists that can mentally tell you what the Word says. They may have memorized it. They could probably, I know there's people that's memorized the Bible and they can just sit and rattle it all off. But it's only in their head. And there's a big difference between having the mental knowledge of God's Word versus having the revelation in your heart of what the Word is saying. Because it's only then, that's the hearing, and hearing by the Word of God that Paul talks about when he said faith comes by hearing. It isn't just necessarily hearing it with these things on the side of your head. It's hearing it as God reveals it into your heart. That's a big difference. You know, a lot of people can just hear with those flaps on the side of your head. But whenever it comes to truly hearing on the inside in your reborn human spirit, that's where God brings the revelation, and that's where faith comes, and you're able to release that faith and receive whatever the Word tells you belongs to you. See, that's a whole different situation than just hearing it and mentally accepting it and not having that revelation knowledge that comes from the Holy Ghost. And see, I believe that in the many, 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 many cases is what is happening, even with leaders of churches. They're getting these a mental picture of what the Word is saying. But if they haven't made the Holy Ghost their teacher, generally speaking, what they deliver to their congregations are messages that they've heard from when they were in seminary or from somebody else. But it's not heartfelt revelation. And there's a vast difference. See, when I tell you about how the Holy Ghost can be your teacher, I'm not speaking out of theoretical ideas that I learned in some book somewhere. Now, Debbie and I have proven this out day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, for years. You know, we didn't just get some idea last week. You know, this is something that we've proven out over time, where we have enlisted the Holy Ghost in His teaching ministry in our lives, and we have seen the fruit of it. And we're here to tell you that the fruit is good. It's very good. But it does, I can tell you from my own experience that not every person, not every spiritual leader is enlisting the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and it is so very evident when you sit down and listen to what they have to say. If they're only telling you just what the black ink on the white pages are saying, they're not giving you the fruit of what the Holy Ghost can truly reveal spirit to spirit. And it doesn't happen automatically. And I taught a message years ago about, you know, it's not automatic. Teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost is not automatic. It doesn't just happen just because you made Jesus Lord of your life and you sit down and read the Bible. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting the full effect of the teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost. Number one, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? You know, have you received the infilling presence of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Because if you haven't done it, then you're shortchanging yourself. And if you have done it and you are negligent in praying in tongues, maybe you uttered a few words of tongues 10 years ago when you got saved, but you're not avidly doing it, you're not doing it on a daily or a weekly basis, you're shortchanging yourself. You're missing out, and it's a shame. Don't miss out on what God has for you. He wants you to enlist the Holy Ghost ministry. But you, just like anything else in the kingdom of God, he's not going to force himself on you. You know, God, because he has his, because of his great love for each and every one of us, he won't force, he won't push, he won't manipulate, he won't do any of that. You have to willfully open the door to him, to the Holy Spirit, to his ministry. You have to actively involve yourself through doing what? Through praying in other tongues. You are actively enlisting the Holy Ghost ministry in your life. It's like you're flipping the switch every time you sit down and or walk around, or while you're working, or while you're driving, or while you're mowing the grass, you begin to kodo bo shadaba kadaba sandaraba shatarabasi, or under your breath very quietly sorobo kodorobo si. So you can do it when you're walking down the street. You can do it when you're walking through the Walmart. You can do it when you're cutting the grass. You can do it any time, and every time that you do it, the Holy Ghost is beginning to unlock those mysteries to you. And that's what we're going to look at here tonight a little bit, both in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. See, I think that those two chapters really complement each other, the second chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 14th chapter, because in the second chapter, what we see in the second chapter, Paul is sharing with people about, you know, what happened to them when they were born again and they received this reborn human spirit that has an understanding, that has the capacity to understand the things of God. And then along with that, Paul talks about the ministry of the Holy Ghost to our reborn human spirit. So he's doing this in the second chapter, but then later on in the 14th chapter, it's like he really hones in on it again. He really hones in on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and really gets down and starts to define the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to define what's expected of us, you know, what we can do to incorporate his ministry in our lives, to actively involve ourselves in this work of the Holy Ghost as he's bringing the revelation, what we can do. So in the second chapter, we're going to look at that first, and then later on, we're going to look at the 14th chapter. But you know, I encourage you, look at these chapters Get into these chapters. See what Paul's saying. This man had all of this revelation knowledge. Nobody's sitting there teaching him as far as another human being on this earth. You know, he's being taught this, but it's not by one of the leaders of Jerusalem. He's being taught this by the Holy Ghost. When he took his trip to heaven, I'm certain that he was taught the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how to enlist his ministry through tongues. And so when he came back to earth, he was praying in tongues. He said in the 14th chapter, I pray in tongues more than you all. And from that, what do we see? Do we see an immature person that's stumbling around through life haphazard, having no idea what God's wanting him to do? Is that the kind of person that we see when we look at Paul? No. When we look at Paul's life, what we see is someone, even if they're in prison, even if they're bobbing up and down in the ocean because of a storm, the ship was being destroyed. Even in all of that, what we see is a life of purpose that he could be shipwrecked, and yet even in that situation, you see the ministry of the Holy Ghost taking place in Paul's life, and he's ministering to people. And this is the kind of life that we need to strive to live. Not a life that where we are trying to do things to please God through our actions, but a life where we are in fellowship, in communion with God, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And through that relationship comes ministry. Through that relationship comes purpose. You know, it's through that time that we spend with God that comes the life that's lived with purpose and not by accident. Not one that we just kind of stumble from pillar to post and the devil's just beating our brains out all the time. No, that's not the kind of life that we're supposed to live. So look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to begin with. We've looked at this chapter numerous times here recently. So some of this is just going to be to refresh your memory. I'm just going to start reading in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We need that demonstration. Bless God. You know, it's more than just talking about the word. There's supposed to be demonstration. When you pray for somebody, something's supposed to happen. Bless God. I had a friend that called me a couple of weeks ago. He had fallen off of a truck and his arm and wrist were messed up. And he said that, you know, the symptoms were something like a broken bones. And I said, well, let's pray. I prayed for him and we agreed together and no broken bones. I talked to him this past Sunday and he said, everything's fine. No problem at all. See, that's what we need to expect, results, because he said he was certain that was a broken bone. But when we prayed and believed God, something supernatural took place, and that's what we need to expect. That's what our life should be like each and every day. Glory to God. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So I'm not going to get off on a rabbit trail on this. We've talked about this a lot here in recent messages about the wisdom of men and how clearly as he writes this letter to the Corinthians, this is something that he's having to combat, that people are looking to those who were somewhat among them, that they felt like they were wise. And and when Paul came there and Paul ministered, he wasn't ministering with man's wisdom. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He wasn't using the big $10 words whenever he was preaching. Simplicity, sharing the gospel, and letting the Holy Ghost do his work. Because, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. In some way, shape, or form here, I truly believe he is referring to praying in other tongues. Now, whether he's in what way that he's referring to it, it's not necessarily clear, but I truly believe that he's talking about the mysteries that we pray when we're praying in other tongues. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Thank God, he's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So let's stop there just for a second. Talking about God revealing to us by his Spirit. Now, something that you want to keep in mind, this revealing by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is revealing to our human spirit. We received a reborn human spirit that has the capacity to understand the things of God, so that the communication that we receive from the Holy Ghost is spirit to spirit, not spirit to ears on the side of your head. It's spirit to spirit. So as he's talking here about spirit, that God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, we're talking about his Spirit revealing to our reborn human spirit. It's very important that you understand that. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? So, in other words, you have someone sitting here. Do I know what's in that person, that is going on within that person? How could I know unless they told me? If they didn't tell me, and if I didn't have a gift of maybe discerning spirits or some other gift of the Spirit, it would not be possible for me to know what was going on inside of another human being. All right. So God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit that's born of God is what that's talking about, this, the reborn human spirit. In my natural man, I can't know the things of God strictly by the part of me that wasn't born again. It's the part of me that was born again that has the capacity to understand the things of God. You know, it's funny when, you know, you're talking to somebody that's not born again. I had opportunity to do that this past week, talk to somebody, sharing the gospel with them. It's interesting because, you know, they a lot of times they have a lot of questions. And, you know, you do your best to try and navigate through some of their questions. And but you have to understand that until a person receives Jesus and is reborn in their human spirit and receives that new nature and that ability to understand the things of God, they're really at a disadvantage. They really don't have that capacity to understand the things of God. So you can try to answer their questions, but really until they surrender to Jesus, they don't have that capacity. But once they do, praise God, once a person makes Jesus the Lord of their life, they're born again. They have a reborn human spirit with the nature of God. They have the ability to understand the things of God. Now the Holy Ghost is able to bring revelation, knowledge, spirit to spirit. And as that person is praying in tongues, edifying themselves, building themselves up on their most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, as they do that, and the Holy Ghost is doing what we're going to see here in a couple of minutes, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, as he continues to do this, this comparison as we're praying in tongues, as this is all taking place. See, these are the things we don't know with our natural understanding. All the things that are happening when we're praying in tongues. You know, we might just think we're just sitting there, kondodo, bo, shat, da, da, ba, si. You know, we're kind of, you know, watching the sun go down, or, you know, looking out in the yard, or doing something, praying in tongues, and thinking that, you know, not very much is going on. Oh my goodness, so much is going on. There's a whole process of things happening as we are praying in other tongues. The Holy Ghost is creating that prayer on the inside of us, and it is exactly what we need, is what he's praying, what the prayer that he's creating within us. It's everything that we need. And the thing about it is, God took the understanding away from us. You know, and he did it, I truly believe, because if we knew what we were praying for, I think in many cases, we would simply stop. We would simply stop praying. Why is that, Mark? Well, in some cases, I believe that it's addressing the things that maybe our flesh is fond of, you know, but it's something possibly that's holding us back spiritually. So, you know, the Holy Ghost is dealing with that particular issue. So with the understanding, it's gone from us. So we're just sitting there praying, and he is, you know, he's honing in right on the very thing that needs to change within us. And maybe it's one of those things that we just would really rather hold on to. But see, we don't have the understanding of what we're praying, so we just keep on praying. Kodobo sandarabashatarabasi. Glory to God. But God is doing something, and it is a perfect prayer. Glory to God. So I'm going to read verse 11 one more time. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God, the spirit that is born of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That means the spirit that is born of God. That we might know, and here's what I was really wanting to get to, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See that person I was talking to the other day that wasn't born again? They couldn't know the things that were freely given to them of God because they were still spiritually dead. They didn't have the understanding. The light wasn't turned on yet. But the instant that it is turned on, the understanding comes. They have the capacity to understand the things of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, here we go again, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is what I was talking about a minute ago. There's a comparing that's going on. And how does this work, Mark? Have you ever seen it? I haven't seen it. I can just tell you from my personal experience of praying in tongues over all of these years that as I do this, that whatever this comparing is, it is it's a comparison that the way I would say it is, the way I would describe it is like this. The things that are deficient as far as my growth and development are being compared to the things of God, which are not deficient in any way, shape, or form. And it is showing the areas that I need improvement based on the standards that are established by God. So the comparing is where I'm maybe falling short or where I need improvement in areas. They're being highlighted or they're being revealed through this comparing process, comparing my spirit against God's spirit, if you want to say it like that. I don't know if that's as accurate a way to say it. But the standard that he has, and that way, wherever I'm, there's a deficit or deficiency or a lack of growth or development, those are the things that are being addressed through my praying. Do I know what those things are? Heavens, no. How could I know? You know, because it takes the Holy Ghost to do this process. It takes the Holy Ghost to make these comparisons, to shine that light, to show the areas that need to change, where there needs to be growth and development. And I thank God for it. And know beyond the shadow of a doubt that not every Christian is experiencing this. I can't stress this enough. Not every Christian is experiencing this process right here of this comparing of spiritual with spiritual. It's just simply not happening. And the reason I can say that so emphatically is this. It's because God doesn't force himself on any one of us. So this comparing of spiritual with spiritual could not take place without my will being involved. There's absolutely no way. Just like there's no way that the person I was talking to the other day could just simply be saved because God just sovereignly, and I use that word in quotations, sovereignly made that person get saved. See, God will never do that. Not for anybody. It's always our choice. Likewise, the comparing of spiritual with spiritual also is not being forced on us. It's only happening when we choose to have this taking place, and it's through our enlisting of the Holy Ghost through praying in tongues to have His ministry working in our life in this way. Doesn't that make sense? You know, how many times have you done something because God forced you to, and you didn't want to? Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He was sweating great drops of blood, even Him, He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." So God didn't force Jesus to go to the cross. And Jesus, apparently in His flesh, He wasn't looking forward to it. Who would? And yet He surrendered to the will of the Father, and He went to the cross and suffered the shame on our behalf. But it was Him surrendering His will and not the Father making Him do it. Likewise for us. God's not going to make you enlist the ministry of the Holy Ghost in your life. He's not going to do that. We are going to have to make the decision, choose to enlist His ministry, choose to pray in other tongues, and to see the work of the Holy Ghost, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." See, the natural man, he's not understanding the things of God. It's only being discerned through your reborn human spirit, not that carnal mind. It's the reborn human spirit. That's where you're receiving the things of God. And that's why it's so subtle at times, and I think at times we miss His leading and His unctions, because you know we're looking for something on the outside, we're looking something in the natural, and it's not coming to you through the natural avenues, through the five sense gates, the seeing, the hearing, the with the audible sound, the taste, the smell, the touch. It's none of that. It's not the way that God is communicating with us. It's not the way that God is bringing His understanding to us. It's happening through our spirit, through our reborn human spirit, not through the outside, coming from the inside out. Verse 15, "But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And just to bring a little clarification on what that mind of Christ is talking about, you know, we have the ability now through our reborn human spirit to understand the plans and the purposes of God. You know, we're not talking about having his mind per se. We're talking about having the plans and the thoughts and the understanding of God, and the ability to understand the things of God. So that's chapter 2. And that, so we see here Paul's talking about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and more specifically our need to enlist His ministry, because now we have this reborn human spirit and the capacity to understand the things of God. It just simply needs to be taught. We need to have revelation knowledge coming into us. So from there, we're going to jump over to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, because it's in this chapter that I believe Paul does the lion's share of his teaching on praying in other tongues. Now, in case you have a question as far as whether or not the Apostle Paul actually prayed in tongues or not. And when I say pray in tongues, I'm not talking about in a public assembly. I'm talking about him praying in tongues, just like what I described earlier, when he's by himself, when he's walking down the street, when he's making the tents. You remember he spent time as a tent builder to supplement his income. And so when he's building tents, he's praying in tongues. You know, when he's just going about his daily business, he's praying in tongues. I imagine when he was locked up in prison, he was praying in tongues. I imagine when they were beating his feet, he was sitting there praying in other tongues. You know, when he was bobbing up and down in the water, you know, because they got the ship was being destroyed, I bet you he was praying in other tongues. See, he says here in the 18th verse of chapter 14, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So clearly this is a practice that he has made a part of his life. And it's through this that we see all of this revelation knowledge that Paul had, that clearly he had more revelation knowledge than anyone else I've seen, which is the reason he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, because of all the understanding that he had of the Scriptures. And he's doing, see, look at this. He prays in tongues more than ever, more than them all, has the lion's share of the revelation knowledge of the New Testament. There has to be a correlation here. Has to be a reason for all of this revelation knowledge. And it is. It's because he has learned to enlist the ministry of the Holy Ghost to teach him. And it's like I was talking about in our last message about having confidence in the Holy Spirit. That confidence in his teaching ministry and the fact that he's going to reveal to us, he's going to confirm to us the truth of God's word as we sit and listen to someone else, maybe another teacher. If what they're teaching is not revelation knowledge from God's word, if they're not speaking the truth of God's word, we have the Holy Ghost individually to confirm to us the truth of God's word, if someone is teaching it correctly or not. And if they're not, we also have him to confirm that this is error, it's wrong doctrine. Don't listen to that. Thank God that on an individual basis, God has made available to us this ministry of the Holy Ghost to confirm the truth of God's word and to also to shine a light on wrong doctrine that might be taught. Thank God for it. We don't have to rely on another person to teach us. We don't have to rely on them and be subjected to whatever wrong doctrine they might have. Hey, because then we wouldn't know what was right and what was wrong. We would just be taking in everything that they said, thinking everything they said was, you know, as pure as the driven snow. And it's not the case. That's not the case for any of us. There is areas where we still are not clear in the revelation, and it's still unfolding inside of us. And so thank God we have the protection of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for it. So here's Paul. Here's Paul praying in tongues more than you all. Let's go backwards here just a little bit. Let's go to the 14th verse. Because here we want to see what praying in tongues is all about. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. And that's when he says my spirit, it is our human spirit having the unction of the Holy Ghost creating that language, but it's our spirit that has to pray it out. And why is that? And then it obviously has to come out of our mouth. Because we're the one with the authority in the earth. Yes, God can originate the tongue inside of us, but ultimately it has to be us speaking it out. Us, where we're receiving it in our human spirit and it's coming out of our physical mouth, because we have the authority in the earth, and it's through our words that what we say is established. Glory to God. So, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit, I just put that in there because that's the way that works. My spirit, by the Holy Spirit, prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. And this is where so many people have difficulty. They want to know, what am I praying when I'm praying in other tongues? Well, like I said earlier, there might be things that you're praying about that you would rather not pray about. And God is taking the understanding away from you for your own good. He wants you to change. He wants the things inside of you that aren't supposed to be there to be dealt with. Well, Mark, I like that little thing. It's my little pet. Well, it's holding you back. So praying in other tongues is you opening the door to the Holy Ghost to address the thing that's holding you back, whether it's your little pet sin or whatever it is, it's being dealt with by the Holy Ghost. So, read one more time. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit, I added that in there, prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with my spirit. See, now look at this. I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. Here's a good point. You know, you can get so caught up in praying in other tongues that you never pray with your understanding. I don't think that's right. And I know there'll be people that would disagree with me on that. I'm just telling you what the word says. I agree with the word. I don't necessarily agree with the person that says all they ever, ever, ever do is pray in tongues. That they don't ever pray with their own understanding. That's not what the word of God says. It says right here, I will pray with my spirit and I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. They're singing in the spirit. You can sing in the spirit if you want to. Korobo shandaraba sandaraba karaba shondorobo kolaraba silerebetesi. You can just go on and on and on, just like that. Make up your own little song as you're singing in other tongues. And I will sing with my understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So when I'm in a room with other people, I'm not going to just pray in other tongues out loud. And you know, particularly if I'm in a ministry position, let's say right now, I just went off and started speaking in tongues. You might look, well, what in the world is Mark doing? I don't understand a word he's saying. Kodo bonda shada batasi. You know, it's because there's no benefit here. Now, if I've had an unction to give a word of tongues followed by the interpretation of tongues, which is equivalent to prophecy, now that's a whole different story. And Paul addresses that in this 14th chapter, which is part of the reason that some people look at the 14th chapter and look at a verse that says, like verse 5, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. You know, he's not saying don't speak in tongues or don't pray in tongues. What he's saying is, if I'm in a congregation, if I'm in a group, I want to give the interpretation so that everybody's benefited by it, not just go on and on in tongues. See, you know, he's writing a letter. He's writing to the Corinthians. The Corinthians, they're off balance in this area. You know, they're trying to outdo each other with tongues. You know, one person is trying to speak in tongues, pray in tongues so loud that he drowns the other people out. I mean, these people are just a bunch of carnal Christians. They're babies. You know, that's what we saw back in chapter 3, where he identifies their lack of spiritual development. Way back here in the 3rd chapter, I've read this verse before, but it bears repeating. In chapter 3, in the first verse, 1 Corinthians, "And I, brethren, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Well, that's a real good indicator. You can hold on to that, those few words there in the 3rd verse, where it says, "For are you not carnal, whereas there is among you," look at these, "envying, strife, divisions." Well, when you see those things right there, you can just count it, take it to the bank. You're dealing with spiritual babies. Babies. That offends me. I've been following the Lord for 40 years. Well, if you have these things present, envy, strife, and divisions, you're a baby. You're a carnal 40-year-old spiritual baby. The only way you grow spiritually in the kingdom of God is by enlisting the ministry of the Holy Ghost. You know, you can feed yourself with the Word, and you're going to grow, because that's what Peter said, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." But you're going to grow in a much slower pace than if you enlist the ministry of the Holy Ghost and reading the Word together, praying in tongues, reading the Word. It's like a turbocharger on a car. You know, you might be going the speed limit by reading the Word of God, but I'm telling you what, you add praying in tongues to that, and man, you just put the pedal to the metal. You're going to see results. And when you start seeing the results, and the other people around you, you might start seeing envy, strife, and division. Don't join in with them. You know, don't allow yourself to join in with their envy, strife, and division. All they're showing you is just how carnal they are. And let them be that way. But don't you join with them. So let's go back here. We got a couple minutes left. Go back to the 14th chapter. So we established that the Corinthians were carnal babies. Paul's showing them, he's basically showing them in the 14th chapter, here's what I do not to be like you are. I pray in tongues. I pray in tongues more than you all. When my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. This is what I do. I do this, I empower the Holy Ghost, and through it there was a confidence in the Spirit, confidence in the things of God that Paul exuded this confidence, and it wasn't self-confidence, it was God-confidence. And he was able to talk to these Corinthians, to address their shortcomings, the fact that they were immature babies, and he did it from a place of confidence because he had done the things to grow spiritually, to develop. And a big, big part of it was the verse, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. That's huge. That was a huge part of why he could deal with these Corinthians with such confidence the way he did, because he had this change working on the inside of him, and he continued to have this change. Hallelujah. Let's go back here. We're kind of going backwards in chapter 14. We're going to go to verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. You know, that's one verse right there. If you are, if you're ever struggling, and maybe you have prayed in tongues and you have backed off of it a little bit, because maybe you're wondering if it's really doing anything or not. I tell you what, you get this verse right here. You open your Bible to this verse. You put your finger right next to it. He that speaks, verse 4, chapter 14, verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. I'm edifying myself. Kodo bo sanda rabashata. I'm being edified. I'm building up myself on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's Jude chapter or verse 20. Praying in the Holy Ghost, building up myself. I'm being edified. See, these are the things that are taking place inside of us when we pray in tongues. And this is going to build a confidence in you, not a self-confidence, but a God confidence. Confidence in the revelation, confidence in the Word of God, so that you're not going to be following someone into error, into doctrinal error, because you don't have that teacher working inside of you. You don't have this confirming of the truth going on inside of you. No, you do, because you pray in tongues, because you meditate the Word, and through that, there is change working. There is growth. There's development. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I tell you, we have no excuse. There's just no excuse for us staying spiritual babies. When he has given us the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, and his ministry, and all we have to do is open our mouth and begin to pray in other tongues. Glory to God. I hope that blessed you this evening. Thank you, Jesus. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for his ministry in our life. God, I believe that you want us to enlist his ministry on a daily basis, so that there's growth, a development. There's comparing spiritual with spiritual. Glory to God. And I pray that every person that hears this, I believe that they are, that there's a desire growing within them to pray in tongues, to enlist the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you that that is being stirred up on the inside of them right now, Father. A stirring, a hunger for truth, a hunger for growth and change. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.